I wonder if you're into gadgets. Do you like having the latest tech stuff, or do you have technology that's frankly causing you a bit of grief? I think we've all discovered that, haven't we? Well, let's settle down now and catch up with the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkal, who knows all this stuff, and he's here to enlighten us. Welcome to BBC Radio Berkshire. It's been ages since you and I chatted on the air.
I know, I've missed you terribly. How
I know, you never write, you never call. What's going on? It's an interesting time, isn't it, at the moment? Because, like so many things, we were talking with Jay Rayner, the food critic, earlier on about how hospitality and restaurants are now sort of coming out of lockdown and the pandemic. Is that true of the gadget and technology industry as well? Are they getting back into their stride?
Well, it's been a very mixed picture because people, when they were not going out as much and are still not going out as much, were spending the money that it seems that they were spending the money that they would have spent in, you know, restaurants and social activities and maybe holidays on turning their homes into sort of upgraded home 2.0 with, you know, better screens, better computers, better gaming systems, you know, just upgrading what they could do in their homes. So actually there was an increased demand, and that was opposite to what the companies thought that would happen. So they sort of cut back their manufacturing, misread the situation because they thought, you know, people would be out unemployed and not going to spend money on computers and gadgets and tech. But that turned out not to be correct, you know, as a rule. So they cut back their manufacturing at the time that the demand actually increased. Add to that we've now got a worldwide shortage of chips that go into almost every product, which is causing delays to, you know, the likes of even Apple, one of the, you know, biggest companies in the world, is having trouble sourcing stuff. And we're seeing all sorts of things going on. We're seeing prices going up. We're seeing products becoming unavailable or hard to get. And a new practice that's come to light, which is where certain manufacturers, which I won't name here, are launching components like solid-state drives, which are like the super-fast drives that go in computers and other devices. They launch them with good components in them. They send them out to people like me to review, who then give them good reviews. And then, without telling anyone, they replace the components with cheaper and less performant parts and don't change the specs. And several companies have been caught doing that in recent months. And that's probably because they found it either hard to get the components or the components went up in price. But rather than being honest and upfront about it, some of them chose to make the change but not alert anyone to the fact that this thing doesn't perform.
It doesn't sound like they're covering themselves in glory if they send the really high-spec ones to people like you to review, and then when we come to buy them, we're not quite getting 100%.
Yeah, and in some cases it can be a lot less than 100%. I mean, I don't know if that was the original intention when they sent them out. I suspect they developed the products, you know, before COVID and supply issues, and then found difficulty, and then perhaps morally failed, possibly legally failed, to alert people to the fact that this was not the same product anymore. No. Because if you change it for either a lower grade product or something of just a different type, you know, the memory inside of you know, an SSD solid state drive, it makes all the difference.
It's a bit like buying a Ferrari, and when you open the lid and you discover that it's got a Morris Minor engine in it, and you'd be slightly more than miffed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, exactly. So you know, there've been several companies have been caught. It seems to be, you know, wide practice because, you know, a lot of the main players in the field have been caught doing this. But as I say, people have been buying more things, and actually we'll come on to the gadget of the week, but it's a gaming gadget, and online gaming is one of the areas that's really taken off during pandemic because people needed and still need entertainment, and gaming is one of the forms of it. But we have a story about Facebook. It seems like virtually a week doesn't go by when we talk about Facebook. But, you know, to me, Facebook is starting to look more and more like tobacco companies were when they were in denial about the effect that their products had on our health. And this particular story comes from the Wall Street Journal, which has published information which it claims reflects internal research that Facebook did itself in-house About the effects of Instagram. So Instagram is one of the services and brands that Facebook owns. So it owns Facebook, it owns Instagram, and it owns WhatsApp. They're all Facebook at the core. And there's been a concern for a long time that Instagram, where people post typically pictures of themselves and other people get to comment on them, that it may be harming.
We live in a strange world, because when I was brought, well, dragged up really, rather than brought up, when I was dragged up, it was always seen as being, you know, a bit above yourself if you were sort of flashing around photographs and bigging yourself up, as people say now. You know, you were saying, well, hey, you know, that's not so good.
Well, yeah.
Now, I mean, it's what everybody does, isn't it? It's like they're their own PR agencies now.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, it seems that what's happening, and particularly to teenagers, and although Instagram is meant to be for 13 up, I think there's evidence that, you know, children younger than 13 are in some cases using it as well. And it seems that people's self-worth is tied up in the response they get to the pictures that they post. Yeah, so, you know, you don't have self-worth unless someone else says you do. And so there was some research that was turned up by the Wall Street Journal, which was originally done by Facebook, about its own Instagram service. And it found, and this is from slides that are not disputed, I understand, by Facebook. It says a 2019 presentation slide said, and I quote, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teenage girls." On another slide, it said that teenage girls blamed Instagram for increased levels of anxiety and depression. In 2020, research found that 32% of teenage girls surveyed said that they felt bad about their bodies and that Instagram made them feel worse. That's a third of teenage girls. And then this statistic, I'll just read it to you because it's as quoted. I'll read it carefully. Some 13% of UK teenagers and 6% of US users surveyed trace a desire to kill themselves to Instagram.
Well, that's particularly grim news, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a statistic that we'd hope was inaccurate.
Yeah, but this is research that turned up on internal presentations from their own research within Facebook, if it's as claimed. And the BBC story says that, you know, these facts are not disputed, although they put a different spin on them. What they did in 2021, it conducted a large-scale research of tens of thousands of users and then paired their responses to their use of Instagram, the own data about the time spent on Instagram and what was viewed. So they were able to correlate how people said that they were feeling with how much they were using Instagram and what they were doing on it. So, you know, correlation is not necessarily causation, but, you know, the users themselves are saying, Instagram makes me feel worse, you know, and yet you would ask yourself, well, then why are you using it? And that comes back to what we said, that, you know, people feel that they don't exist unless they're on Instagram, and their own self-worth is tied up on their use of Instagram and how other people, you know, respond to them. And, you know, that's pretty dark. And, you know, there have been, it says, let's have a look here. We've done extensive work around bullying. This is Facebook's response. We've done extensive work about bullying, suicide and self-injury and eating disorders to help make Instagram a safe and supportive place for everyone, the company said in its post. And they're trying to basically defend themselves. But the National Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children, the head of that, their child safety online, Andy Burrows, said that it was appalling that they appalling that they chose to sit on their hands rather than act on the evidence. And I quote again, instead of working to make the site safe, they've obstructed researchers, regulators and government and run a PR and lobbying campaign in an attempt to prove the opposite. And the Member of Parliament, British MP Damian Collins, who's chairing the parliamentary committee looking at how big technology should be regulated, said that it was, in quotes, time to hold them to account. He said the Wall Street Journal Facebook files investigation exposed how the company time and time again puts profits before harm. Now, obviously, Facebook not here to defend itself. But
well, I was going to say exactly that, and you know, they're not here to put their case. But I appreciate that you did read out their statement there. I'm sure they would say that they have all the policies in place. And also, you did mention there, Damian Collins, the MP. I also know, and will be aware from the reports that we've seen, that the Department of Culture, Media and Sport obviously take these things extremely seriously as well. So
So the problem is, how does one regulate something like Facebook, which first of all has got the, you know, the economy the size of a country now. I mean, we've seen Facebook push back against governments. You know, when there was a dispute with the Australian government, they withdrew news services from Australian citizens, you know, in a show of force against the Australian government. And there's also a US campaign group called Fair Play, which was formerly Campaign for Commercial Free Childhood. And it said, they said, and I quote, "In a move straight out of Big Tobacco's playbook, Facebook downplayed the negative effects of its product and hid research from the public and even members of Congress who specifically asked for it." Now, you know, Facebook do take another view. They don't seem to be denying that this research exists, but they're saying, you know, it's being cherry-picked, that there was much more to the findings than is being quoted. I'm sure that's right, because they involve thousands of people in their research. But I find it personally worrying that they're trying to set up something called Instagram Youth, which is for under 13s. Well, first of all, you know, I think a lot of under 13s are already using Instagram proper.
Well, and that might be a way of tackling that, actually, and actually being doing the right thing. But anyway, let's not. Was this always the conundrum we were going to face as soon as the internet was invented, effectively?
It didn't have to be this way. It's based on the business model, yeah. And in a way, you're right, because, you know, the internet was meant to be free. Yeah, it was meant to be. But free shouldn't mean you don't pay for things. And by the way, free is not free, because you're paying for it with your data and your attention and your viewing of ads on the space and so forth. It's no more free than commercial television is free. You're watching adverts for it. And, you know, it became inevitable when these companies set up business models that, instead of treating users as customers and charging them a reasonable amount for the use of a service, just like we would subscribe to a magazine or buy a newspaper or whatever, they instead designed something deliberately which was highly addictive. And there's evidence for that, including, you know, how smartphones have been designed and the way that notifications make us have dopamine rushes and all the rest of it.
Well, actually, as you drive down the street, you'd be amazed at the number of pedestrians left and right and often in front of you who aren't looking where they're going. They're looking at their phones. It's very disconcerting.
But in short, it's the business model. What they should be doing is treating us like customers, charging us a reasonable, affordable amount. But they've worked out that by providing these bag of sweets free of charge, that they can hook us, and that when they hook us from our usage of this, they can profile us and sell that information for targeted advertising purposes. And we've seen other purposes. We've seen how Facebook data was used in the US elections to feed different messages to different members of the electorate. So, you know, if someone's just lost their job, they'd get a message saying, "We blame foreigners." If someone's a little bit racist, we blame someone else. So I think this is hard to fix as long as companies are allowed to create these business models. What needs to happen is you need to have new legislation that says we own our data. Every citizen, every person owns the data, not just that they hold about themselves, but the data that they generate as they walk around the world or use the internet. That data should belong to us, and they should not be allowed to monetize it in the way that they're doing. As long as it's legal to do so, this will continue. And, you know, I think the comparison to tobacco companies is correct. These companies, you know, their services are doing harm to society, sure, to our youth and so forth. So that's my opinion.
Sure. And the interesting point you made there, and in the defense of the companies that you mentioned, is that they're doing nothing illegal. Anyway, we will move on, and I do promise we will talk about the gadget of the week, if you're happy to do that. Sure. And we'll do that with Fevzi as we continue. Fevzi's with us, Fevzi Turkel, the gadget detective, and let's move on to gadget of the week finally. He said, thank goodness for that. I have to admit, this means nothing to me, but it means all the world to gamers. The HyperX Alloy Origin 60. What's one of those then, Fevzy?
Okay, so we mentioned before that people were sort of spending more on gaming at home and games consoles, but also the keyboard that people use when gaming, be that on a PC or on a PlayStation 4 or on an Xbox One, you need a good keyboard, and you need a gaming keyboard that has special properties. So this is a gaming keyboard, can be used for general purpose use, very attractive, very well-made keyboard, not cheap, it's £109, but that's about the going rate for this sort of thing. So it's called the HyperX Alloy Origins 60. HyperX is the brand. Alloy refers to the fact that the main part of the keyboard is made out of aluminium alloy. It's very tough and you know, doesn't slide around your desktop. The 60 refers to the fact that it's 60% of the size of a full size keyboard. So there's no there's no numeric keypad off to the right. There's no additional row of keys on the top. It's designed to be small. Why is that important? If you're a gamer, use of your mouse is very important. If you have limited desk space, you don't want a keyboard taking up all the desk space. So that's what it is. It's an ultra compact 60% form factor. It's kind of retro in the style that it's got the old fashioned high quality mechanical key switches under it. So it's not these sort of membrane type keyboards that you find on laptops now where they hardly move and, you know, they don't click and, you know, they're low profile. These are proper keys. They remind me a bit of what you used to get on, you know, IBM computers back in the 80s.
Right. I mean, they've obviously road tested this, and this is what the gamers want, I guess.
Yeah, and well, first of all, they're very high quality switches, so they're rated at 80 million clicks for each key. So if you were even able to hit a key every second for every second of the day, you know, and didn't sleep and hit it once a second, that would be about 2.5 years per key.
That's quite a statistic,
yeah,
isn't it?
So you're not gonna wear them out anytime soon. And the key tops are printed in a way where it doesn't smudge or wear off from, you know, the sweat of your fingertips or anything like that. They're very, very high quality. But the switches, they feel good. They're just the right amount of force needed to activate them, so they don't activate by accident, but at the same time you don't have to push them too hard, because if you're gaming, every moment counts. Which, by the way, is why gaming keyboards are generally not wireless, because wireless introduces a small delay. You know, it's convenient.
Yes,
but,
of course.
But this is actually wired. This has got a USB-C cable going into it, so there's no delay. Because when you're in competitive gaming, and bear in mind, some people do this for a living. There are people who compete internationally, like athletes.
Well, it won't be long before it's an Olympic sport, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And interestingly enough, the other week, China banned its under 18-year-olds from playing for more than 3 hours a week for online games. They're allowed to do it for one particular hour on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday evening, and that's it. So they may not be able to compete in the future if their people can't play games. So the other thing about this is what's called RGB backlighting. So RGB stands for red, green, blue, and that combination of red, green, blue can produce almost any color. Yeah, this is how, you know, conventional TV sets used to work in the past. They'd have a red gun, a blue gun and a green gun, and they would, the dots would converge and make any color. So you combine them all, you get white, for example. So this has got, every key has got its own backlighting with RGB, and it's got software that comes with it. So you can make sort of undulating patterns of light sweep across the keyboard, which is kind of, you know, attractive, and especially when you're not using it, it can do all these funky things. Or you can make particular keys light up in particular colors. You can do a per key control. So again, that's partly for show, and gaming is partly for show. If you look at gaming computers, they're full of bright flashing lights inside them. You know, it's become a thing to see how it looks. But also it's useful because, again, if you need to hit keys, you know, quickly and not hit the wrong key, then having them color-coded by backlighting can be very effective. The computer, the keyboard has got its own onboard memory. It's got a keycap puller that comes with it, so it actually comes with spare keys. So if you don't like what's written on a particular key, or you want to change the position of keys, it's got a device where you can pull the keycap tops off the switch and move them around or
clever.
Replace them.
Yeah, that's clever.
So very clever. Yeah. 4.5 stars out of 5. The interesting thing is, although this is clearly a gaming keyboard, I think that the benefits of having a smaller keyboard, which is really well made, durable, attractive with the lighting, it's actually something that I think it appeals to a lot of people. I certainly like to, when I've been using it, I like the fact that it didn't take up that much space on my desk and yet was a fully functional keyboard.
And that is the HyperX Ally Origins 60 mechanical gaming keyboard. 4.5 out of 5 is pretty good, I have to say. You're hard to please in the best possible way.
Nothing
so
ever gets 5, Vernon, so that's just pretty
that's
much as
right.
good. On general principle, nothing gets 5.
Yes.
So
even the creation itself doesn't get 5. From
well, I'll give it time to see how that pans out.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's still a work in progress, I understand.
It
it's always lovely to have you on BBC Radio Berkshire. It's great to catch up again. You're on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. Gadget Detective is what we call you, and thank you for joining us, and have a lovely weekend. Thanks, Fevzi. Fevzi Turkalp, our technology gadget guru here on BBC Radio Berkshire.